So the interesting aspect about this is that the two minds work in tandem. The conscious mind can control everything, but the point is this. Whatever the conscious mind is not focusing on will be managed by the subconscious mind. Well, then this becomes an issue for if we are in our conscious mind and let's say we're involved with a discussion with somebody, then the behaviors that we're carrying out that we're not paying attention to are being run by the subconscious mind. Yet we don't actually observe those behaviors because the limited power of the conscious mind is focusing my attention on the conversation, and I don't even see the operation of the subconscious mind. This becomes problematic because most of us are totally oblivious to the action of the subconscious mind. And why this becomes problematic is if the subconscious mind contains perceptions or programs that do not support us, we may not even see that we are sabotaging ourselves. Let me give you a further example that may make this more palatable and easy to understand, and it will work like this. When you first got your driver's permit and you got into the car, you have no programs of how to drive a car in your subconscious mind. You haven't done it yet. So learning how to drive the car involves a conscious mind. So as you got into the car and you got the keys out and put in the ignition, you started to become very conscious of everything. The rearview mirror above your head, the side view mirrors on the doors. You started looking out the windows, the front, the back, the sides. You started looking at the gauges on the dashboard. You started to keep your attention on your feet on the pedals, the gas pedal, the clutch pedal, the brake pedal, etc. And all of a sudden, you were also paying attention to the person who was sitting next to you yelling at you about your driving. And the reality, at some point, many people realize this conscious mind that processes 40 bits per second sometimes can't even handle that much information. Some people get behind the wheel and get frozen because their conscious mind can't handle all the information that's coming in at the same time. However, let's say now we've been driving for years. And so our subconscious mind has now acquired through repetition all the skills needed to learn how to drive. Well, the interesting thing is, now that you've been driving 10, 20 or so years, you get into the car, you get the key in the ignition, you're not even paying attention to that. You have someone, let's say, in the passenger seat, you're involved in a discussion. And as you're going toward your destination, you get so involved in your discussion that you as a driver at one point actually look out the window and realize you haven't paid attention to the road for the last 10 minutes. Well, don't be concerned by that because the subconscious is driving the car because your conscious mind was engaged in the discussion. And the conscious mind, not being as powerful as the subconscious mind, is actually even better that the subconscious mind is driving the car. It does a far better job of observing the world and handling the car than the conscious mind does. That's not the problem. The problem is this. You just drove for 10 minutes. And then I ask you, please describe your driving behavior during that 10-minute period. And then you look at me and say, but I didn't pay attention. I didn't see it. I was involved in a discussion. That's my point. My point is this. When the conscious mind is engaged, the subconscious mind carries out its programs, but the consciousness is generally oblivious of what those programs are. It doesn't see them because the consciousness is probably thinking of the future or thinking of the past or involved with some activity such as a conversation and not paying attention to the other behaviors that are manifesting at the same time. Most of us are totally aware that the jobs we do after they become repetitive don't require that much thinking anyway, because you can daydream while you're doing the job, and yet you're carrying out the job. And the issue, again, is you become oblivious to this. And one last point about the oblivious nature of the operation of the subconscious, just again to nail this home, because this becomes very critical in the rest of our discussion. And it goes like this. If you know someone and you know their parent, and you begin to realize that this person and their parent pretty much express the same behavior, and you have the audacity to actually suggest to this person, you know, you're just like your dad, or you're talking to a woman, you say, you know, you're just like your mom. These people will almost look at you horrified that how could you have made such a conclusion? I am not my mom. I am not my dad. I don't behave anything like them. Aha. How come they didn't see the behavior that the outside person saw? And the answer was simply as we described before. Because in their conscious mind, they are indeed different than their parent. They are a different identity, a different spiritual connection. They have different beliefs and attitudes about life. Yet the reality is the behavior they're playing in their subconscious mind is the same behavior that they acquired from their parents. As they're playing this behavior, they're not observing it. And that is the whole point of this discussion. that our conscious mind may have great intentions, and our subconscious mind is usually running the show. And it does so with behaviors that are not necessarily the same as those provided by our conscious mind. And when we try to understand the nature of this, we say, well, where did we get these behaviors from, these perceptions, our ability to respond to life that we're not paying attention to? And it was already clear in my last example, from your parents. And why this becomes important, because now what we recognize is this, that yes, the nervous system already has incorporated instincts as perceptual responses built in when you're born. But once the brain begins to develop, it starts to read the environment, interpret the environment, and make responses. And so once you are beginning to develop and your brain gets past a certain stage of development, you are actually beginning to download perceptions, responses to the environment that adjust your behavior. But these perceptions are actually downloaded into the subconscious mind. And many of them, when we express them, we don't even observe them. So it's really interesting that we talked about these three sources of perceptions: instincts, subconscious learned experience, and conscious creations. And the reason why these become important is instincts represent nature, as I mentioned. They came with us with our genes. Subconscious learned experience represents nurture. Nurture means perceptions acquired from our life experiences. And so the subconscious mind has two sets of programs, the ones from nature and the ones from nurture. And it's interesting because over the centuries, scientists have argued back and forth, which is more powerful, nature, nurture, nurture, nature, etc. And in fact, in the last number of years, as the gene theory has overwhelmed us, we've really given up nurture and deferred to nature, saying that we're controlled by our genes and our biochemistry and that nurture has very little to offer in this regard. And it's interesting because while people are arguing nature and nurture, everyone really left out of the argument the third source of perceptions, consciousness. And why this is important is because in the argument of which is more powerful, nature or nurture, consciousness makes that a moot issue. The reason? Consciousness is more powerful than either nature or nurture for this reason. Let's say I acquired some behaviors in my nurture experiences that are not really good for me. With consciousness, I can override nurture. We also now recognize that since genes are controlled by epigenetic mechanisms, which are mediated by perception, then through my conscious perceptual experiences, I can even rewrite my genes. So it's interesting because the argument of nurture and nature gives way to the reality of the dominance of consciousness. And yet, as I mentioned, consciousness is an add-on option in our human evolution. And in fact, most people don't even exercise that particular option. They live their lives mostly through the programs of repetition. They do the same thing every day, repeating it day by day, and their head is usually lost in the fog, dreaming of the future, thinking of the past. And yet the reality is if your conscious mind is not in the present moment, but then according to the relationship of conscious and subconscious, the tandem relationship, if the conscious mind's not paying attention, then everything is run by the subconscious mind.